Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. I'm going to make a little diversion today from our study in Acts. Since this is the American Thanksgiving, one of the big holidays in America. In fact, there are more people that travel on Thanksgiving than any other holiday, including Christmas. So it is a real family time where families get together for the Thanksgiving dinner and come together. And so I want to talk to you a little bit today about the importance of nurturing a heart of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. And I want to use some historical facts about the pilgrims, because we always associate growing up, we associated Thanksgiving with the pilgrims who came to America in 1620, and they did institute in the fall of 1621 a day of Thanksgiving, and they would often set aside days of prayer, also days of Thanksgiving, where they would set aside all work and other activities, and they would give the day just for prayer, or sometimes they would make it a day of Thanksgiving, of giving thanks to God for his goodness and his blessings. There are so many scriptures about being thankful. And often we are told, you know, very often, maybe always, I don't know, but very often when Paul talks about prayer, he will say with thanksgiving. For example, I think it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." By the way, Paul wrote that those words from prison. So prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, 18. Listen to this. He says, "Rejoice always." How often are we supposed to rejoice? Always. Rejoice always. "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, he doesn't say for everything. No, we're not to give thanks for everything, because everything that comes across our path is not from God. And I know that may shake some of your theology, but think for it a moment. Jesus did not thank God for the money changers in the temple. He did not thank God for them. No, he was angry. He took a whip and he drove them out. He did not thank God for the Pharisees and their pride and arrogance. No, he rebuked them, called them names like snakes and vipers, and said, "How will you escape the damnation of hell?" No, the thought is, in everything give thanks. Give thanks in the midst of everything. Always nurture a thankful heart. Always nurture an attitude of gratitude. That is so important. And it is even so important in seeing answers to prayer, because Paul again and again will mention that you need to add thanksgiving to your prayers and your intercessions and supplications. Add thanksgiving. Lord, we are thankful for you today. Now, the pilgrims who started this, they were persecuted Christians in England. They were what was known as separatist Puritans. Puritanism was a renewal movement within the Church of England, also known as the Anglican Church. They were concerned that the Church of England had become corrupt, both in its actions and doctrinally and so on. And they were pushing for a renewal of the Church of England and going back to Scripture. Finally, there were some of these Puritans who became gave up hope that the Church of England could ever be renewed, that it was so corrupt that they were fighting a losing battle. So they pulled out of the church and they began to start their own congregations. That's why they were called separatist Puritans. Now, what they did was illegal, because the Church of England, that's why it's called the Church of England, it was the official legal church. It was against the law to have religious gatherings such as the separatist Puritans were doing. So they came under intense persecution from the authorities, who were continually monitoring them and throwing their leaders into jail and to prison. And so they were continually harassed. And so eventually, there was an entire congregation of these separatist Puritans. They moved to Holland. But then after 12 years in Holland, they still weren't satisfied that they had found the place that God wanted for them. And so they learned that there was an opportunity to go to the New World that had opened up. And so a part of that congregation of separatist Puritans, they departed England in 1620 on the Mayflower, and they sailed to America. These people were devout believers. Think about it. They were willing to leave everything. They got the name of Pilgrims because their leader, William Bradford, just before they left England, he called themselves, we're pilgrims. We're pilgrims on a journey. Wow. And, you know, in that sense, folks, we are all pilgrims. This present world is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through, but looking to God to use us for His glory as we pass through on our pilgrimage through this world. Well, it was not an easy time. They arrived in America. They first landed at Cape Cod, and after looking around, they found a place called which they named Plymouth. Now, before they completely disembarked, they drew up, because they knew they were not going to just be a church congregation. They were going to be like a civil, political unit. And they needed some kind of document. And some people consider the document they drew up as a forerunner of the U.S. Constitution. And in this, they told how that they were going to function as a people here in the New World, how they were going to function civilly. But right at the beginning, they told why they had come to the New World, and they gave two reasons. They said, we have come here for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith. It's interesting that school children are no longer taught this. I was teaching this some years ago in what I called a Revive America event in Upper State New York. And the Holy Spirit led me to have the congregation that night to speak, to repeat after me aloud, the two reasons the pilgrims said they'd come to America. So we all repeated aloud. They repeated after me, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. As soon as the meeting was over, there was a young man. He looked to be in his 20s. He came to me. He was so excited. His face was glowing. He said, I'm attending a community college here in the area of Albany, Schenectady, New York, the capital of New York. And he said, I'm taking a course on American history. And he said, just this week, the professor told us that the pilgrims did not come here for religious reasons, that they came for monetary reasons. He said, but there it is in their own words. Yeah, that's called revisionist historians, where they're revising history and taking out the parts they don't like. But after the Mayflower Compact, then they disembarked. And it was November. It was cold. This was New England. And they had to build houses to live in. And many of them fell ill. Perhaps it was some kind of flu or something. But there were about 100 of them, and about 50 of them died that winter. So we can only imagine the sadness, because, you know, they don't have emails. They don't have any modern technology. You know that I'm sure they're building fires in their little huts that they're building, but they're having to dig graves in the cold, hard ground of New England and burying their loved ones. Man, it was not an easy time. However, with the arrival of spring, that sickness lifted. They began, God connected them with Squanto, and then some other Native Americans who became friends, and they actually came and lived among them and served as interpreters to the different Indian tribes and as guides in the wilderness, and also helped them, because the pilgrims were townspeople. They weren't country people, they were townspeople. And so their Native American friends taught them how to live in the wilderness and how to plant crops and how to hunt and fish and so on. So anyway, and then they planted their crops that spring and in the summer, and they had a very abundant harvest. So when fall came, they decided that they were going to have a day of Thanksgiving set apart to give thanks to God. And they had three things that they could thank God for. Number one, that with the arrival of spring, the sickness that had taken so many community, it had lifted. The ones that were left, they were all well. They also wanted to thank God for their new Native American friends who were being such a blessing to them. And thirdly, they wanted to thank God for the abundant crop that He had given them and that they had reaped. And so, think about it. They were not whiners. They were not complainers. They were the ultimate optimists. In spite of all they had gone through, they said, we're going to have an entire day that is set apart for just giving thanks to God, praising Him, and thanking Him for His goodness to us and bringing us through all we have been through. Now, succeeding generations continued to follow in their footsteps and would set aside days for prayer. If they were in danger, they'd set aside a day for prayer and seeking God. Or if they had had a lot of blessings, they'd set aside a day to just thank God for it. I remember I have a little book called The Faith and Vision of Benjamin Franklin, whom secularist historians try to present him as one of the non-religious founders. But he grew up in New England. His ancestors were all separatist Puritans on both his mother's and father's side. And there was a time in Pennsylvania, I think it was in the 1740s, where there were some Spanish warships had shown up near Philadelphia and so on. And so based on his experience growing up in New England, Benjamin Franklin drew up a proclamation for a day of prayer and fasting, had it printed up and distributed throughout Pennsylvania. Yes, one of America's founding fathers called for a day of prayer and fasting. But then they would also have days of Thanksgiving. And I'm just going to read one here in closing. George Washington, after he became president, shortly, one of the first things he did, he designated November 26th. See, this is around the time that we still have Thanksgiving. 1789, as a day of Thanksgiving, which was the first Thanksgiving day designated by the new national government of the United States. And let me just read a little bit of this first Thanksgiving, the proclamation by George Washington. This is powerful. He says, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good things that was, that is, or that will be, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. Yeah, there's the first Thanksgiving proclamation. And so our American Thanksgiving. And I know Canada has Thanksgiving, probably other countries have Thanksgiving days, but our American Thanksgiving has roots in Christianity, the Christian roots of American Thanksgiving. That article and others are on my blog, if you'd like to read it. The blog, you can find it on my website, eddiehyatt.com. If you will look on the left side, down towards the bottom of the homepage, you will see a link for my blog. You can click on it and you'll find that article and so many others. Hey, this is Eddie Hyatt. I'm so glad that you've joined me today. If Sue and I can be a blessing to you in any way, feel free to contact us. Our contact information is on the homepage of our website, eddiehott.com, and I look forward to seeing you next time.